What up, world? Welcome one and all to another episode of Ocho Live, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name is RJ Ocho. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on Ocho Live. You can watch us live every day about 3 o'clock Central Time. Sometimes things get a little delayed. That's why we are late today. It is Monday, October 8th, 2018. Shout out to those of you joining us on Twitter, Periscope, YouTube Live, the Blogging the Boys Facebook live feed, catching us for the live show. If you don't have a chance to catch us live, you can always catch the rewatch at bloggingtheboys.com or listen to the podcast version of the show on the Blogging the Boys podcast feed. Subscribe on Apple and Android devices. We have a brand new episode of the 750 with two-time Super Bowl champion Tony Casillas, so go check that out. If you need the link, hit me up on Twitter. I'll get it to you. It is not a victory polo Monday. It is not a good Monday. It is not a happy Monday. It is not really a pleasant Monday, and I say that because I am a San Antonio resident. I'm a San Antonio lover. I love the city of San Antonio, and I'm a San Antonio Spurs fan. And on top of all of this junk that we're dealing with the Dallas Cowboys, DeJounte Murray tore his ACL, so things are just great right now. But on a serious note, it is, not a good day to be a Dallas Cowboys fan, obviously. Jason Garrett, if you're watching us live, just took the podium at the Star in Frisco, defended his decision to punt on fourth down in overtime. We'll get into that a bit. Talked about Joe Thomas, Dallas Cowboys linebacker, said he suffered a foot injury during the loss in Houston and that he could be out a while. Said that Chidobe Owusu, the Cowboys cornerback, also had an ankle injury. You think about it, and sometimes a loss can get worse in the form of injuries. The Cowboys already thin at linebacker with Sean Lee on ice for now. The Cowboys have two stars. They have one superstar in Jalen Smith and one budding star in Leighton Vander Esch, but right now, that's all they've got. Joe Thomas was a surprising find for the Cowboys, certainly in free agency, but if he's going to be hurt, he's going to miss some time. That is not ideal. The Cowboys do have a bye 2 weeks from now. They play the Jacksonville Jaguars this Sunday and visit the Washington Redskins next Sunday, and then do get the bye week. So hopefully Joe Thomas is all right. We've got Mario joining us on the BTB Facebook live feed from McAllen. Shout out to the 956 where I hail from. Let's get into it, and we'll start kind of moving backwards, kind of like the Cowboys offense. Last night we wrote about this at bloggingtheboys.com. We asked, and we'll take your answers on Twitter, Periscope, YouTube Live, and the Blogging the Boys Facebook live feed. We asked who you blamed for the first interception of the night. Dak Prescott ultimately threw two interceptions against the Texans. Both passes were tipped. All four of Dak Prescott's interceptions this season have been tipped by his wide receiver, by his intended target. And so we asked at bloggingtheboys.com, who do you blame for the interception, Dak Prescott or Tavon Austin? There's been a lot of discussion. Is it a catchable pass? Did Tavon have to stretch out? Did Tavon have to leap? He's short, etc. We've got Javier Quinones on BTB's Facebook Live feed says, I blame Dak. 52% of the votes. We had about almost 2,000 people vote at bloggingtheboys.com, and 52% of people blame Tavon Austin. That's where my blame falls. I think you certainly can put a percentage of the blame on either one, but in terms of the majority, as Gary says on BTB's Facebook Live feed, says, as Ninja says on YouTube Live, it hit Tavon in the hands. I mean, if it hits you in the hands, I know it's not necessarily, right there between the one and the O, as Jason Garrett would say, you got to make that catch. You have to make that catch. Moving on, though, some news we found out today on the subject of injuries that Leonard Fournette, Jacksonville Jaguars star running back, will not play on Sunday when the Jaguars visit the Dallas Cowboys. There will be a TJ Yeldon show. The former Alabama running back will start in place of Fournette. Fournette, the fourth overall pick a year after Ezekiel Elliott was the fourth overall pick. Certainly both prolific running backs, certainly both with incredible collegiate resumes, but Leonard Fournette will not play on Sunday against the Jaguars. You take what you can get. This has been a day. Sorry about that. The Tavon pull back up there for a brief second. Sometimes we got to juggle a lot of things, a lot of self-producing going on here. There's been a lot of discussion today on Monday and the fallout, the hangover, if you will, from losing to the Houston Texans in overtime. People talking about Dak Prescott, people talking about Jason Garrett, people talking about the Cowboys wide receivers as a whole. It has not been a good day. And I was curious, and I went and I looked at this because there's been so much talk, especially with what Jerry Jones said following the game about a number one receiver. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins toasted the Dallas Cowboys defense, was a big reason why the Texans won, was a big reason why the Texans were able to pull off that last second field goal to win the game. You know, you think about it, the Cowboys obviously are, you know, number one receiver list. They are void of a number one receiver. I think it goes without saying. The Cowboys chose to build their offense this way. They chose to make things Dak friendly. And I was curious, so I went back and looked. The NFL's top receivers, granted there is a Monday Night Football game to be played tonight. Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints can certainly make his case to be in the top three here. But DeAndre Hopkins, the aforementioned Hopkins, has 594 yards through five games this season. Minnesota's Adam Thielen has 589 yards. Julio Jones of the Atlanta Falcons has 564 yards. So all three of these receivers are over 550 yards, over 560 yards even, all on their own through five games. But it's also interesting to note, and if you're watching the show, you can see this, that through five games this season, Cole Beasley, Tavon Austin, Deontay Thompson, and Allen Hurns combined have 504 yards. That's right. If you add up all of the yardage from Cole Beasley, Tavon Austin, Deontay Thompson, and Allen Hurns through all five games that the Dallas Cowboys have played this season, collectively, it is less than Julio Jones by himself, than Adam Thielen by himself, than DeAndre Hopkins by himself. That is a pretty big indictment against the Cowboys wide receivers. And lots of people, you know, I think when situations like this arise, when a team is bad, when a team is performing badly, when a team is just playing, you know, really, really, really down, people like to have a scapegoat. People like to have a point to aim at. People like to have an answer. Why do the Cowboys have problems on offense? Why? Show me the answer. What is the answer? What is the reason? And I think it's a lot of things. I think that it's obviously Jason Garrett. I think it's Scott Linehan. I think it's the play calling. I think it's the identity of the offense. I think Dak Prescott is at fault. I think the Cowboys receivers as a whole are at fault. You know, this sounds like it's ducking the question, but it's not. It's really just the truth. There's enough blame that it falls on everyone's shoulders. The only player, the only single facet that has been incredible this season offensively for the Dallas Cowboys has been Ezekiel Elliott. He's the only person who has played like a superstar five games in for the Dallas Cowboys. But other than that, everybody has been down. And you look at this, this particular stat is certainly a demerit against not only the Cowboys wide receivers, but the Cowboys quarterback and Dak Prescott, their passing game and their passing attack as a whole. It is. These are not good times. If you're looking for the Cowboys to air things out, it is probably not going to happen. But, you know, I digress. Let's move on. Let's talk about, and speaking of airing it out, the Cowboys aired it out in the form of a Chris Jones punt in overtime, 4th-and-1 on the Houston 42-yard line. That would be the last time that they would touch the ball as Houston would drive down the field with the aforementioned DeAndre Hopkins and kick the game-winning field goal. We did not get a chance to really talk a whole lot about this on the post-game episode of Ocho Live, but something that I thought was fascinating was what Jerry Jones said. If you're watching the show, you can see a tweet from the Dallas Morning News' Kate Haropolis. She is on Twitter at @KHaropolis, tweeting Jerry's quote about the punt. Again, we were being outplayed there. Not out of effort, but we were being outplayed. It's time for risk at that particular time. That's not second guessing, but we're all extremely disappointed. So by the way, I love how Jerry's saying, look, I'm not second guessing anybody. But I disagree with what happened, and I would have done something different. But that's not second-guessing. That's just my opinion, and it just happens to contradict the opinion of my head coach, classic Jerry Jones. But the reality here is that this is big. You know, this is very big, and we're in some rocky waters with the Dallas Cowboys. It is worth noting that Jason Garrett said during his press conference on Monday that he felt he had support from Jerry Jones, but the fact that Jerry Jones would publicly and so immediately say something like this, that he would outwardly contradict what Jason Garrett decided to do as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, that is quite telling of how frustrated he is. Look, I don't know that we're going to see any sort of move. We did talk about this on the 750 with Tony Casillas. You should go check out that episode. But it does feel different. And we have heard Jerry Jones display some signs of disapproval before for Jason Garrett and for the Cowboys. But losing in Houston in overtime with such a lackluster offensive performance, it is interesting. But on the subject of this punt, you know, Jason Garrett did not relent. Jason Garrett is going down with the ship like a captain. And Jason Garrett last night in his post-game press conference, he said, yeah, it was a long one, talking about a long yard. He said, you know, we had a 3rd-and-2 and we didn't make much on it, and we just felt like at that point in the game, the way our defense was playing, the idea was to pin them down there. Chris did a great job with the punt. They got the ball on the 10-yard line, and hopefully you make a stop and you win the game coming back the other way with a game-winning field goal. And so Jason Garrett explained this day on a variety of platforms, on a variety of shows. I know he was on 105.3 this morning. Obviously had his post-game, his next day press conference today on Monday. He'll be on ESPN San Antonio this afternoon as well. Obviously, if you're listening to Ocho Live later, that has already happened. But Jason Garrett's stance on this, if you're unaware, Jason Garrett's plan, he's saying, look, the plan was to punt the ball away and then we were going to stop them. That was the plan. We wanted to stop them and get the ball back again so we could go score. And we know that. I mean, I don't know that anybody doubts that that was the plan. Everybody who watched the game, everybody who is aware of the game and the rules of football understands the intent. Everybody knows that that's what the Cowboys were trying to do. The problem with the world really isn't understanding what the idea was that the Cowboys were trying to employ. It's that the Cowboys chose that idea to be the one that they executed. It's pretty indefensible. It's pretty hard to forgive that the Cowboys punted that game away. I mean, they were on the 42-yard line, and Jerry Jones talked so much about trusting his defense. If you really trusted your defense, you can roll the dice on 4th-and-1 and then expect your defense to get a stop on their side of the 50-yard line. So it is very difficult, and a lot of people today, I know I wrote about this today at bloggingtheboys.com, have been looking to what the Los Angeles Rams and Sean McVay did on Sunday afternoon in Seattle. And if you did not get a chance to watch the game, the Rams were up near the end. They were up by 2. They had a situation where if they get a first down, the game is over. If they don't get a first down, Seattle has a chance to go get a game-winning field goal. If they punt, obviously they got to play some defense with all the defensive superstars that they have. I thought it was fascinating. Sean McVay, Los Angeles Rams head coach, was asked about this by Football Night in America's Peter King. And Sean McVay really, really had a different disposition than Jason Garrett. Again, from Peter King's Monday morning column. On the bus to the airport Sunday evening, McVay explained the call to go for it thusly. I think the biggest thing was this. Our offensive linemen had the confidence to be able to get those 6 inches. I thought Jared did an excellent job of mixing up his cadence a little bit, and I felt like he could catch them off guard. We attack success. We don't fear failure. We want to go for the win in that situation. Getting 6 inches to close it out was something that we felt the percentages were in our favor. And you hear a sentence like that, you hear a statement like that, you hear a philosophy, a disposition like that, and it is, it's impressive. I mean, it's very impressive what the Los Angeles Rams have. You look at their roster, their personnel are very impressive. Obviously, Sean McVay's offensive mind and his levels of innovation are impressive. But beyond all of that, he also has the fortitude to do this. I mean, Sean McVay not only is bright and gifted intellectually, but he's also bright and gifted from a bravery standpoint. It is hard to be that brave in situations like that, especially on the road, especially in a tough place to play like Seattle. But the Los Angeles Rams know the type of football team they are. They know their objectives. They know what they want to do. They know what they want to accomplish, and they went for it. I really think that that's impressive, and that is a gear that is lacking from the Dallas Cowboys, where Sean McVay went for the kill. He kept control of the game and control of the win or loss in his offense's hands. Jason Garrett did not do the same. And the ironic part behind all this, as many people have made mention of in the fallout of Jason Garrett's decision to punt, is that the Dallas Cowboys were literally built for a moment like this. All the offensive linemen they drafted, all the second contracts they handed out, they brought Joe Looney back, and that ended up being a really wise decision for them. The drafting of Ezekiel Elliott, the identity that they have forged and created for their offense to be that group, to be those hard trash yard getters, to go get a yard like that to close out a football game. That's the Dallas Cowboys football way that Jason Garrett always likes to talk about. Yet when that opportunity presented itself to really truly flex the muscle that they have been crafting all this time, the Cowboys folded. They folded, and they folded very hard, and they folded in a way that ended up in a loss. And that's just kind of the way football goes sometimes. it's a little bit tougher to stomach when it's a little self-induced, like it seemed to be in Houston on Sunday night. But, you know, the Cowboys have a tall task in front of them this Sunday with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you think about this. These Jaguars are pissed off as they got punched in the mouth by the Kansas City Chiefs. Jalen Ramsey is going to talk an inordinate amount of smack talk this week. I mean, think about it. Jalen Ramsey talked about the Chiefs, and that's because the Chiefs have an amazing offense. What's Jalen Ramsey going to say about the Cowboys? And Jalen Ramsey also, if you remember the GQ article over the summer, you know, was not pleased that he was not drafted by the Cowboys. So this is going to be a big game and a tough game for the Dallas Cowboys. But we'll get more into that as the week progresses. So sorry again that this Monday is so down. But hopefully the Cowboys bounce back. Hopefully your week bounces back. Fall weather is starting to roll in, so at least we got that going for us. But yeah, enjoy Monday night. Let's root for the Saints. Let's hope something special happens. Hope your fantasy teams do well. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your Monday and a fantastic start to your Tuesday. We'll be back on Tuesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central Time for the normal roundabout of Ocho Live. Go subscribe to the Blog of the Boys podcast feed. And again, have a fantastic Monday night and Tuesday morning. We will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.